The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Jan Trummel, and I'm from Lane, Illinois, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 363 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle. Orange Therapy, is that what it's called that you're
Orange
doing?
Theory.
Why don't you tell everybody what that's all about?
Again?
Yeah,
I did in the last show. It's a one-hour intensive running. You're rowing. You're doing core training, and you wear a heart monitor, and there's somebody running around telling you all the different things that you need to do, and it is intense. And I've joined, and we'll see what happens with that.
Was it cold? Well, you did it today. Was it cold? Because you were intense?
You're
not intense. It was intense.
It was chilly. It was chilly, but I warmed up very fast. And it was good.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes. So I have, before we move on to introduce our next or other guests and co-host, I have some other people who I want to give a shout out to. I asked people who gets it in their life, who is their Disney person who they go to. Rick Free says his daughter Lizzie totally gets the Disney obsession. She's taken to reading blogs, listening to podcasts and theme songs like me. And then Sherry Harkin says her hubby and kids, but her high school students also get it. They supported her while she was training for Disney. And one more thing. Angel Ramos,
yes.
Our buddy,
yes.
Who moved from Puerto Rico to Orlando, a wonderful, lovely, super sweet guy, got a job as a cast member today, so you can look for him at Disney Security.
That's
with
right.
The brightest smile and the happiest man in the world.
That's right.
Congrats. Love him. Congratulations.
Also on the show today, speaking of a nice guy.
Yeah. Hmm. With a nice smile.
Yeah.
And a regular sized nose.
Yeah. Ugh. None other than?
Let it go, sister.
Misery loves Chris Eliopoulos. Eliopoulos. Chris Eliopoulos. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. Here's the song of the day. It's my theme song, Sexy and I Know It by LMFAO.
Oh, I was hoping they'd have a White Stripes song. But...
Is that Paige?
Yeah, you said it right.
Did I say it right?
For you.
Also on the show, joining us from Windermere, Florida, who is also she's from Monorail Media.
Yes.
Eve Vanderpool. Hello, Eve. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Oh, just peachy dandy.
Mother of Maggie.
Yes. Maggie's mom.
Who is sleeping, thank goodness now.
Wow. Yes, all the children should be asleep by now. And last but not least... Oh, I don't know how to introduce this person, but...
She makes us laugh. She makes us cry. She's a part of us.
Yes, yes. She loves making the impossible possible or something like that. None other than...
She lives in a dungeon.
That's right.
Under the sea.
She's in between houses or something like that. From MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, the one, the only, Becky Mankin. Hello, Becky.
Hi. It is so good to be back. It's been way too long. I last time we were all together, I laughed so hard, I think my stomach still hurts.
Well, it's nice that this weekend you're not in a different part of the country or on a boat or in the air.
She's in a different part of the country from us.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm way over here. I'm in the dungeon in the Pacific Northwest. Long story there, but...
The dungeon of travel?
Yeah. Someday I'll see the sun again, I swear.
Someday.
But that's okay. It's a good thing. Time is marching on.
Well, this is going to be welcome, Becky. Nice to have you back.
Nice to be back, everybody.
This is the first time we're going to talk about this kind of topic on the Mickey Miles and More podcast. And Basically, this comes as a result of the latest announcement from Disney involving the Disney Cruise Line.
It comes because Chris kept on asking us to talk
about
this. Yeah,
you know how Chris is with
I'm so interested in the cruise line. Yeah, so
I think he needs to learn a little bit more about it so that he's a little bit more informed on his opinions.
That's right.
Bring it on. I'm with you. I'm willing to learn.
Awesome. So there will be a two ships that will be added to the Disney Cruise Line fleet in 2021 and 2023. Beautiful. Both of them will be larger than the Disney Dream and the Disney Fantasy. They'll be coming in at 135,000 gross tons and will offer about 1,250 guest rooms. We don't know their names. We don't know the itineraries yet, but we're looking forward to those, and I'm sure that Becky will be among the first to find.
I wanted to hear what people think the names are going to be.
Disney Titanic.
Wow. No.
No.
So many levels of no right there. There's been a lot of speculation. Of course, everybody's thinking the Disney Wish or the Disney Imagination, or somebody even said Luke and Leia because they are twins. They are going to be sister ships. But who knows what the names will be?
Tweedledum, Tweedledee.
Wow. What's really exciting, though, is that we're getting two more ships with the Disney Cruise, and we've really needed it because the Disney Cruise Line is extraordinarily popular, and it's hard to because they price so much on demand, supply versus demand, and the demand is extraordinarily high on the ship. So adding more cabins to the fleet is amazing for us because it means more itineraries. It's going to be like you said, it's a little bit larger, not a lot. It's, like you said, 135, where the Fantasy and Dream are about 130. So if a lot of people were speculating that they were going to be mega ships, and I'm really glad that they didn't go too overboard, literally.
Nice pun.
I know.
I love that you just like know how large the ships are, just because you're on them all the time. And well, you've walked those halls many a time.
Well, yes, I have for fish extenders deliveries. But a lot of people wonder, maybe you've been on the Magic or the Wonder before, which are the classic ships. And just to give you an idea of size difference, the Magic and the Wonder are about 83,000. So going from 83,000 to 130 to 135, that's a whole lot of ship. Right there.
That's exciting.
And you feel the significant difference too. I mean, it's just so much more intimate and convenient on the Magic and Wonder. So you definitely feel that.
Yeah, you do. And on the Dream and Fantasy, however, you've got a lot more opportunity to get more steps on your Fitbit.
That's true. So one of the things that we wanted to start off talking about is, you know, we did this Mickey Miles podcast cruise on the Dream. And most of the people who went on the cruise were adults. They had run the races. And Eve, you and your husband Phil just came back from a cruise a few weeks ago. And it was just you and Phil. You did not bring your daughter on this one. And I'm wondering why you chose a Disney ship to go on an adults-only cruise.
Well, you know, I do find that Disney has probably the most adult-only sections of a cruise line that caters generally to all families. And, you know, we just love Disney. We love the Disney brand and everything. And we really like the itinerary and the fact that it was a repositioning cruise. And that first week in February that we went, there weren't too many kids out of school anyways. So I kind of feel like there just really were not that many people on the ship in general at all. And there was there were not many children either. So we figured, you know, it would be like we could just choose that cruise and that cruise line. And, you know, we would not be around as many children. Not that we don't like children. We obviously have one. But we just wanted to get away from the, like, mommy, daddy, the crying and the, you know, if you're a parent, like, you know exactly what I mean. So, but like, you know, or around any children for extended period of time. But, you know, so that's why we chose that cruise line and that time of year and repositioning as well.
So what kind of things, okay, I'll be the good guy. How, what kind of things can you do as an adult without children on this cruise ship and not get annoyed by the kids that are there?
Well, they have the Quiet Cove, which they have on all their ships. But on the Magic and Wonder, they're just different than the one on the Dream and the Fantasy. I actually think I like the Quiet Cove on the pool on the Dream better, but it just seems like there's maybe more seating on the one on the Magic and the Wonder. So, but you can do that. There's obviously Paolo, and they have on Disney Dream and
Why don't you tell what Paolo is for people who don't know?
Oh yes, well the Paolo is a just a high end Italian restaurant. And I mean, the food is just, it's fantastic. It really is. This food, the service is fantastic. Great wine list.
No kids allowed.
18 or over. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
Yeah, no kids allowed.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And the views are just spectacular as well. And I like Paolo on the Wonder and Magic better because it just seems like it's a little brighter. You just have more window space. And so, you know, that's my pick for Paolo. And then there's also Remy on the other ships. So, you know, there's that. There's the spa areas and the gym, of course. And then there's an adults-only district area.
And the bars, of course.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So, Becky, tell me, as an adult who wants to go on a cruise, why would I choose a Disney cruise versus another cruise line? You know, typically you think, as an adult, I want to go on some other cruise line. It's all adults, or it'll be mostly adults. Disney obviously has that feeling that it's kids too. What makes the Disney cruise even good for adults?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is we get this a lot because you get the adults saying, I don't want to go on a Disney cruise because I'm going to be inundated by children. They're going to be everywhere. There's going to be characters. It's going to be like being at a theme park at sea. Right. And the Disney Cruise Line has done a great job of creating these special spaces for adults only. Obviously, there are other cruise lines out there that do cater very well to the adult audience. Celebrity is a good one. Royal Caribbean is a wonderful one as well. But if you have an affinity for Disney, if you enjoy the Disney brand, if you're a person that really likes the quality of the Disney brand, if you're a if you're partial to the service that you get at the resorts and you want to have that same type of experience, a Disney cruise is perfect for you. They do have, like Eve had mentioned, they have Paolo and Remy. If you're looking for a more upscale dining experience, and I'll tell you, Paolo brunch is my favorite out of all the dinner experiences or dining experiences you can have. The brunch is wonderful in Paolo.
It was the first time I did it this past January, and I completely agree.
Yeah,
it was fantastic.
If I had a choice between dinner or brunch there, I would do brunch in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Is that on every ship they have the same restaurant?
Paolo, yes.
Okay,
Remy,
so they have
however,
it okay.
Correct. Remy, however, is only found on the Fantasy and the Dream. And that's, if you think about Victoria and Albert's at Grand Floridian, that's the type of experience you're going to get at Remy. They do have a much stricter dress code. You do have to have a jacket and tie.
That's for the women, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris.
Just checking.
And high heels for the guys, yeah.
Of course. Exactly. And dresses, beaded dresses all around.
I have a wonderful ensemble.
Larger ships also have the adult pool areas and satellite falls up front. Oh, my gosh. Talk about heaven. It is a small wading pool, but it's built off the satellite, so there's falls that come off the satellite in the front.
Did I miss that?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
it's amazing.
It is so quiet and so wonderful up there. Cove Cafe, which is the Starbucks at sea, kind of. Not Starbucks, really, but you know what I mean. The coffee shop at sea.
But with liqueurs and drinks, too.
Absolutely.
Not that I've experienced any.
There's a ton of just little nooks and crannies. If you want to enjoy a show, a Broadway-style show under the Disney brand, that's the place to do it because it's at sea. It's amazing, the entertainment, because of course it's Disney. It's an entertainment company. They've got that down pat. But you don't have to be a family to enjoy a Disney cruise. If you like the brand, a Disney cruise is good for you. again, looking at the competitors, which we can talk about when we talk about price a little bit more, but that's something that, you know, you would have to look at and really think about what your priorities are on your vacation, because some cruise lines do other things better than Disney.
All right, I got to chime in. Before you do that, Becky, I got to chime in on some more things.
Yeah.
Okay. The Meridian, which is a martini bar, which is right near Paolo and Remy. Absolutely fabulous. Not a lot of people go there. Wonderful, wonderful. Pink, which is a champagne bar.
Yeah.
So, so fun. But one of the things that I love, and one of your agents, Miranda Gonzalez, introduced me to, are the classes that they have for adults. So these are all going to sound like I'm an alcoholic, but there's wine tasting, there's champagne tasting, there's I actually got Mike to participate in the mojito making class, which is fabulous. And I can't even remember all the ones because I went to so many of them, and I just can't remember. But those are wonderful too. And you know, you sign up for them; they're a minimal extra costs. But the bartenders, you know, do them with you. We went on a galley tour, which Becky helped us get those tickets, which is really interesting. And before we go on to other ships, Becky, do you want to talk about the adult area on Castaway Key?
Okay. If the ship just went to Castaway Key, that would be it. That would be great.
Yeah.
Again, Disney's private island, and it's all Disney. So they have full control over the cleanliness and the food quality and the cast members. They have three areas. They've got the family beach, they have a teen area, and then they have the adults-only beach called Serenity Bay. And this is
No.
But there are some places in Cancun. If you want to partake, there's some places down there for you that I can help you with.
Yeah.
But
let's tell Audra that he's been asking.
I know. That's going to be a great tweet right there.
Heliopolis wants to know. What I was going to avoid. That's all.
Keep it up.
I'll be at the bar with Michelle.
My name is Chris Heliopolis.
They have a specific menu out there for lunch. They have very quiet little nooks and crannies on the beach that you can pull to the side and just read a book all day if you'd like to. Or you can get a beachside massage. Or you can get a cabana like you can on the family beach, too.
One of my best vacations ever, and I've been on some amazing vacations, was the day that Becky invited us to the cabana on Serenity Bay. And it was just amazing. And we got a cabana boy.
It was a cabana girl.
It was there was just a cabana boy.
My memory is also only a cabana boy.
But they give you bike rental and all sorts of things. So Eve, did you go to Castaway Key at all on your
Castaway Key?
I really struggle with that. I don't even know why. It's awful.
It's okay. This is an intervention, so go ahead.
I did. You know, it was actually kind of chilly that day. So we went to Serenity Bay because our daughter, anyways, goes to the kids club all the time. She just never comes out of there, so we never see her. She just wants to stay there. So
you mean like you leave her for months at a time and go sailing away?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
But it was we went over there, but it was so windy over that side of the island. There weren't that many people over there, so we just went back to the beaches that were closer to the ship, the family beaches. Having been over there, that area also has its own barbecue that's adults only. Mm-hmm. So you can dine over there. You can go to the bar over there, again, cabanas and a whole beach area with tables and chairs and lounge chairs just for adults all the way at the end of the island. And it's really not a bad walk from the ship. It's very nice. If the weather were warmer, you know, or hot, it might not be that great. But they have the trams that go back and forth in any case.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on? What does it say here about this? A Star Wars cruise now?
Now, see, this
look,
is the thing.
If you're ever
going to
get me on a cruise, it's got to have some Star Wars elements to it.
I was amazed that you weren't going to break on that one. Hey, interesting. That wasn't bad.
Really.
They did do something interesting this year. They came out with 8 dates that the fantasy on their 7-night sailings would include a Star Wars day at sea.
So what is it, like a 5-day cruise, and then one of those days is
7-day,
and then one of those days is a Star Wars theme.
Correct. Okay. And it is Star Wars themed from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed. So
does that mean like Star Wars waffles and
yes, as a matter of fact. Wow.
Imperial March for breakfast.
Yeah.
That's actually close. there was a lot going on that day, I will tell you. We were on nice back effects there. Sorry. There was so much going on, and the moment that you woke up, you started the day with the movies were running back to back, all 7 of them, all day long. So you could just sit in the theater and watch all the movies if you wanted to. Or for the kids, they had Jedi Training Academy on board. Or they had Star Wars at Sea guest speakers throughout the day. And we had the author and Lucasfilm story guy, Pablo, I think was his name. I think so. Yeah, yep, thank you. Yep. Him. Yep. He was there and talking about some of the backstories and giving information. There was, believe it or not, because of course, you know, in every family, it's almost like you've got that person that really loves Disney, but the other one is like, yeah, okay, because my spouse loves it. Same kind of thing with Disney, with Star Wars, right? So they actually had a Star Wars 101 class on board.
Wow.
So you could send the person that didn't know anything about Star Wars, they were understanding what was going on.
You're going to this class.
I
could think of Annette. That would be the first person.
Annette?
Really the indoctrination of children. I mean, the teaching of children.
Oh my gosh.
No, I like indoctrination. That's exactly
right. They were all adults when I was on ours. There was all adults sitting there, and you could tell they were the spouses going, oh, so that's what that means.
It was Captain Kirk Star Wars?
All right, Michelle's off the show. Moving on.
No, I know, but I'm wondering if that's a question they were.
They had special drinks of the day. For example, they had Galaxy in a Glass and Planetoid Punch. everything was Star Wars named. Even the dinner menu was all Star Wars. So they really did this well. It was the third of the 8 that I was on, and they had already said that every time they were tweaking it and making it a little bit better and a little bit better, because there were some places that could have been improved upon. For example, they had a time period where they said there's going to be a dark side takeover of the pool. Now, when I'm thinking a takeover of the pool, I'm thinking that there's going to be a troop of stormtroopers coming in, throwing people out of the pool, making mayhem and leaving, right?
That sounds like why I'd want to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Nothing relaxes
me more. Somebody throw me out of pool.
So this is in my head. Taking over the pool. How awesome is this going to be? I've got to be up there to see this. Well, the doors come apart and 2 stormtroopers walk out, and they kind of walk the deck and leave. So it wasn't exactly a takeover of the pool. Yeah. So there were some places that they could have definitely improved upon. But they did have roaming characters at any given time. They had character meet and greets, which was really well done, because if you imagine you've got 3,000 people on a ship and everybody wants to have their picture taken with all of these characters, the couple of days before the Star Wars Day at Sea, they had you fill out a form and put priority if you wanted to meet someone on the dark side or the light side, etc. And then you got tickets to show up.
Wow.
And it actually worked really well, because nobody had to wait. It was basically you'd show up at your ticket time and get your picture taken, and it was maybe a 5-minute wait, if that, at any time.
Nice.
So they did it really well.
Did people have to dress up?
Now, see, this was cool. I'll tell you, the neatest thing about the entire day is watching all the guests on board who dressed up. It was like watching a crazy Star Wars Comic-Con and cosplay. And the costumes that were walking around from a guest perspective, people put so many hours and so much thought into their costumes. And it was amazing to see what guests brought with them. I think many of them had to take a second suitcase just for some of these costumes.
For the costumes.
Yeah. So if there was ever a time for a slave Leia in a bikini, it's a cruise.
Oh, enough with that one.
Cruise, exactly. Unfortunately, I saw many of those attempts.
attempts, huh?
Now, the sad part is that many of them were guys. But it was so much fun to watch. It really was. And then this is where they're coming down to the detail. Obviously, they had to have merchandise because where's the money to be made in the merch? So they had a lot of Star Wars-specific merchandise that was available. But all the way down to the ship's horn. You know how can you usually sing a Disney song? This was like, dun, 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 dun. So it was
fun.
They really thought about all of those little pieces. And then at night, they had a deck party, a dance party. And then they did the Star Wars Summon the Force show, which was a deck party with a stage show with a bunch of the characters. And then a nice fireworks finale to the music of Star Wars. So there was, from morning to night, Star Wars all through the day.
So, Becky, does this cruise cost more than other cruises, or does it fill up faster than other cruises?
Well, this was interesting to watch because they chose these 8 dates during a time when it's typically Disney Cruise Line's slow season.
Okay.
So I think what they're doing, much like they do at the parks, where they have a slow time, so they put a Run Disney event in, mm-hmm. or they, like this year, Food and Wine is being expanded to 62 days, going from September to November, the longest time it's ever been during the time of Food and Wine. So I think that's what they did here, is they took a date that traditionally is a lower cost, because, as always, Disney's prices increase as the ships fill.
Mm-hmm.
So they released the dates. Then they announced after release that it was going to be Star Wars Day at Sea.
Oh.
So when it announced, the price went up because all of a sudden people are booking, and of course the prices jump as the ship fills. So the answer is yes and no. It started as a regularly low price, but because of the they might have popped it up a little bit before announcement, but not that much to see. But of course, once it started filling, if you weren't already booked on it, you saw a really fast price increase.
I was just going to ask, Becky, on this particular cruise, were there a lot of children?
You know, yeah, there was. One of the things that, going back to the adults versus kids thing, that a lot of people don't really realize is if you're an adult and you want to go on a cruise and you're looking forward to gambling, a Disney cruise is not where you're going to want to go, because the space on a Disney ship that is on any cruise ship is normally dedicated to a casino, which is one of the places where Cruise Line makes a lot of its revenue and ROI, is dedicated to the kids clubs on board a Disney ship. So there's no casino. If you've never been on a Disney ship, no casino, it's not there for you. So a lot of people will say, you know what, I got off a Disney cruise and I actually saw less kids on board than I have on other ships. And part of it is because there was so much dedicated space to the kids and the kids clubs. And a lot of parents are going to go, yep, I know what you're talking about. Sometimes you'll have those kids that say, I want to go to the kids clubs and I don't want to leave the kids clubs.
Yep.
I was going to say, Eva, you want to stop.
That's my experience. The kids don't want to
We'll never see Maggie.
No, yeah, she goes in and like never comes out. She doesn't come out like, it's midnight and we're pulling her out of there. So when they say it's a family vacation, it's not really a family vacation because we don't see her. Like, we can barely get her out for dinner. Sometimes she's like, no, I'm having dinner here. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I haven't seen her. I'm like, so how was the cruise? Like,
yeah, and I said this previously. My kids would come up to us and say, do you mind having dinner alone? We're going to do something with the kids club. And we'd be like, what? Really? Okay.
I remember talking to a client way back when, just maybe 5 years ago. She was so disappointed when she got back because she said, I had envisioned that it would be me and my children and we would be at the swimming pool with the kids, and they didn't want anything to do with this because they wouldn't leave the kids club. So I guess it's a good problem to have for parents who want some alone time as well, or some adult time.
It's difficult learning how to like sit down and have a cup of coffee and not be interrupted. Though you're kind of like, what? Okay, it takes you. You need to go on a longer cruise to kind of get to the relaxing
it's like,
part.
You'll
of it.
See what it's like when the kids finally go off to college. Like what you really have to talk about.
Yeah.
There you go.
We didn't even talk about the spa. Eve, did you use the spa at all?
Actually, you know what? I bought a bunch of products there, but I did not use the spa. I use the gym quite a bit, and I do a lot of the classes.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I didn't use the spa this time, no.
Oh, I have a silly question, because I've never done this for you guys. Well, more probably Eve than Becky, but sorry, Beck.
Yeah, fine.
I'm on a cruise. I want to run. Are you allowed to run around the decks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just. But are there a lot of people? In, like, is it like running through like a town square? Is it like tons of people everywhere?
Well, you can run on a treadmill, but there's also. Is it deck four? I can't remember. I think it's deck four. Okay. That there's actually you can go. There's a running area, and Mike and I were playing shuffleboard, and there were people running by. But there's plenty of room. There's plenty of room to run, and I know a lot of people do.
Yeah. And nobody's like slipping and falling, and it's like it's a normal.
No one falls off the boat.
Well, I didn't mean fall off the boat. I just meant like you know, I think you're out of water, out at sea. You're gonna get like water on the ground or something. You're gonna be on a slippery surface.
Not at all. Nope.
If you go early enough, it's not a problem. But running on like a treadmill when the ocean's kind of pitching is so difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. The on the Magic and the Wonder, it's a 0.4-mile track on deck four. So you got to run around a few times to make your mile. But and then on the smaller ships, I believe it's a 0.3. But if you want to run every day, that's available to you. You can. There's also a track up on 11 or on 12 on the bigger ships that you can run as well. That's a little bit more crowded if
that's where the miniature golf is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the basic track that goes on the right above the swimming pools. They've got a track up there, too. Right.
And the basketball courts, too.
Yeah.
Jeez, what don't they have on these things? It's like, right, they have a movie theater. They have pools, they have bars, they have restaurants.
And a regular theater, too.
They have miniature golf.
No bowling.
No bowling.
And do they have like
not on a Disney cruise, but on other cruises,
slides or whatever, the water slide things?
Mm-hmm. They have aqueducts. Yeah. So that's kind of like, if you haven't been to the water parks, right?
Me?
Yeah. No. It's kind of like a Crusher Gusher in Typhoon Lagoon is kind of like a what would you call it? I don't know, like a water roller coaster,
right?
A cannon coaster. They kind of have that with the aqueduct that goes above the deck and a tube. It's really really fun. Yeah.
And then on the Magic, they have a aqua dunk. So DUNK. So you're standing there, and the floor falls out from underneath you, and you go straight down.
Wow.
I'm not doing that one. I watch.
Yeah, I've done that before at water parks. Yeah. It's not my thing.
I thought you're supposed to be relaxing on these things. It sounds like it's like committing suicide on a boat.
Well, you stay at the martini bar then, Chris.
Yeah, that's fine.
People always say there's not enough to do on the ship, but here it's kind of telling you you can do as much or as little as you want to do. That's the amazing thing. And you were talking about running too. Don't forget, Castaway Key has the 5K. It's Castaway Key.
It's a 5K. Anyway,
wow.
Moving on.
It's the 5K at the key.
You get a medal, good to go.
5K at the key.
So that's on every cruise you can run that route and get a medal?
You don't get a medal. You get a rubber thing.
Medal.
Oh, yeah, unless you do the Castaway Key challenge that we did in January. Okay. You're going to get Eve so confused here.
I don't understand. It's like I used to say it right, and then one day I started saying it wrong. And then I'm like, I'm just going to stick with my way. And now you guys just like, oof, it's Castaway Key. I'm like, no, now I'm going okay just to go against
it's
the grain.
It's Key. Key.
Oh, boy.
Every kiss begins with K.
Wow.
Oh, let's talk
new
about
sponsor,
Castaway
huh?
K.
Yeah, right. Our new sponsor.
Oh, yeah. So, Becky, I have a question. I know you have thousands of agents who book these trips.
Yeah, Eve, you have thousands of agents.
What percentage would you estimate is it people who go as adults only without kids? Is it 10%? Is it 30%?
Oh, it's higher than that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't give you an exact, but from the groups that we've run, A lot of the groups tend to be adult only, because, of course, they tend to travel with people of like mind. So everybody, it's always better to go with a group if you have the opportunity, because, you know, you're familiar, you've got something in common from day one when you all board the ship. But I know it's more than 10, probably less than half. So it's somewhere in that 20-30%, I would suspect. I have nothing to back that up except for gut feeling.
That's interesting. Interesting.
Eve, would you recommend this for adults to go without their kids?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely would. And another thing is a lot of the other cruises that target, I think, adults, like I've been on like Crystal Cruises and like Windstar, and they're all great, but the price point is much higher. And they're not necessarily adults only, but they target adults, and like the price point is much higher. This way, the price point is, you know, a better price point, and you have so many adult-only options. And then you get to be, you know, in the Disney brand again if that's your thing. So I definitely recommend it. And the Disney service is just, it's perfect.
And I think it's actually better. Go ahead.
Yeah, but actually, I'm going to dispute that, because all cruise lines, actually, even Crystal and the high-end like Celebrity, sometimes are lower than a Disney cruise. It completely depends on the time of year that it's going.
Lower and, price, Becky?
Yeah, they can definitely be lower. A Celebrity cruise line sometimes are half the price of a Disney cruise. Completely depending on the ship, the time of year, the itinerary, and how full the ships are.
How much alcohol you want.
Well, that's true too, but that's your bar bill at the end. So if they can't fit it under the door, that's your own fault. but you'll find that a Disney cruise does have a higher price out of the gate than others, because they aren't they don't have some other ways of making money off of you, like a casino. They don't have the higher bar bills that you do see, because you know families are tending to be together. However, there are points where, because Disney only has four ships until they get two more, it's priced on supply and demand. So let's say it's the middle of summer. You can find a Disney ship is going to be maybe 30% higher in cost than a Celebrity or a Crystal, just because supply and demand, when you only have one or two ships doing a certain itinerary versus another that might have four ships doing the same itinerary, and they've got much more inventory. So they will lower their prices to encourage people to book. So there's a misnomer where sometimes think, even when you're looking at Celebrity versus Royal Caribbean, Royal Caribbean is a mass market, where Celebrity tends to cater to more of the adult foodies, wine people, that type of focus. It's a little bit higher scale than Royal Caribbean, but sometimes a Celebrity cruise can be lower than a Royal Caribbean cruise, depending on, again, the ship, the itinerary, and the time of year.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially something like, I don't know, like when we just went on this Disney one, it was less only because it was repositioning, and I guess there wasn't that much demand for it. So we thought it was actually a good deal. That's another great point, too, is like the repositioning. I mean, it's fun, and you know, it is more cost effective, we find. So
yeah, the repositionings are great. The best tips that I can give people, if you're looking for the best cost or the lowest price on a Disney cruise, is, number one, book it the moment they release it. So if they're about ready to release summer and fall of 2017, the moment that it releases, you're going to get it at the lowest possible price. If you even think you're going to go, book it, put your deposit down. As long as you're not booking a concierge level, it's fully refundable until final payment. So at least you're locking in the lowest cost you possibly can. And then you can move it around. If you decide, I can't go September 1st like I wanted to, I can go in November, you can move that deposit to another date. That's the first. The second is, if you're not completely focused and married on a specific port that you want to visit, and you are flexible to be able to travel during more of the off seasons, like September or January, February, before, put this way, anytime kids are in school, you're going to find much better prices than you do when kids are out of school. Same pricing that they've been doing with Disney Cruise Line prices are always going to be higher when the demand is higher. Of course, families are focused on sailing with Disney. Therefore, demand is going to be higher, so prices are automatically going to be up there.
Interesting.
Good tips. Thanks.
Very good tips.
Lots of information.
Oh, Michael, you're still here?
Oh, yes, lots of information. And I wanted to, I know this is going to sound like an ad read, but if anyone wants more information, they should go to mei-travel.com regarding the non-Disney cruise lines, such as Royal
or
Caribbean,
Disney,
Viking
cruise.
River cruises, I think Norwegian Cruise Lines and the others. And, of course, if you're interested in a Disney cruise line, you go to Mouse Fan Travel. And that's where we go to for all our information. So
thank you,
Becky.
Tell Mickey Miles and More sent you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Please do. I have a really quick other tip, too, because you do have families that, you know, as we all know, vacations are expensive. And we're seeing that with ticket prices ticking up and prices ticking up in all directions. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you get a family that says, I really want a cruise. Some can't afford a Disney cruise because in the middle of summer, that's a pretty high ticket, but they still want a Disney experience, but they still want a cruise. There are options, and we can help you with that. There are other cruise lines that sail out of Port Canaveral that we can also put on a land piece with Disney, and we have a lot of families that do that.
I thought you were going to say that we could stow away. No.
I haven't figured out how to do that yet, but once we do.
Okay. Stow away with MEI.
there's a lot of options out there to get your Disney fix and to cruise, and that's what we're here to help you with. And also, when those prices release for Disney Cruise and there's the 6 and 8 hour hold times to grab that price as quickly as you can, that's where the help of a travel planner can definitely be of benefit to you, so you're not sitting there on hold, and then we can do the work for you. So there's my plug.
All right, I have one more question.
Yeah.
And we have these new cruise
boxers.
cruise ships coming. Small nose. The new cruise ships are coming online. Hands. If I wanted to get on one of the cruise ships for an inaugural or very early on, is that out of my reach because it'll be so much money? And can MEI help me with that? That's two more questions. But
what's funny is right now I have 52 people on the waiting list for the first one coming out in 2021. And that's just me. So it's kind of an amazing thing because being on inaugural is it's an experience like I can't even explain. It really is a neat thing to be walking on a ship with that new ship smell.
It's kind of cool. Do they have these big fresh air fresheners?
Yeah, air fresheners.
Hey, they came out with turkey leg ones. Come on. Ew. New ship smell. Could be a new one.
Yeah. But in the captain's rearview mirror?
Yes. So you never know what these guys will do because sometimes when they bring the ship from the shipyard, which Germany is going to be for this one, sometimes they'll do that as a paying one coming across. Sometimes it's a training one and nobody can be booked on it except for cast members. Sometimes they'll bring it into New York and then do something there as an inaugural and then the first sailing brings it down to Canaveral. So your best bet is get a great relationship with a travel planner that you really like mousefantravel.com, just saying. And we can get on a list. And as soon as we get information, we'll share it. So we can find out.
All right, I'm going to email you. I'm putting myself on the list.
Yeah.
Chris, I think
you too.
There you go.
There we
Chris,
go.
I think you need to as well, don't you think?
You may have almost convinced me. If they have a Star Wars on the inaugural cruise, maybe I'll consider.
Shut the front door. I will go with you.
Wow.
On your first cruise, Chris. Well,
oh, I'm
wait,
totally
with
lying.
Audra.
I'm just trying to be good for the show.
Right? Years away. You still have time.
Oh, I know. It's 5 years. And
I was trying to make a nice happy bow on the end of this episode. But, you know, you had
a
blow.
Lot of,
you had a blow.
A lot of people were saying, well, why isn't it sooner? And I'll tell you why. It's because cruising right now is one of the most popular ways to vacation. And so a lot of these cruise lines are putting in for new ships, trying to replace their fleet because there's new bells and whistles on all of these ships that are coming out. And so the backlog right now for building ships is 5 years. So someone asked me before this announcement came out, so do you think Disney's going to do it? And I said, you know what? They probably will, but they're at least 5 years out because that's what it's taking right now to build. There was actually one river cruise company who bought a shipyard to get in before the 5 years waiting period. So it's great. I'm thrilled to see two more ships come online. I can't wait to see what they're going to put on board, because I will tell you one thing that Disney does better than anyone else is innovate. They're the ones that came up with the virtual porthole. They're the ones that came up with rotational dining. They're the ones that came up with all of these little pieces that others are now emulating. So I can't wait to see what they have on the two new ones.
Well, I'm back.
Let's go.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hi, everybody.
How you been?
This has been quite a
ballyhoo.
Education. It's been quite a ballyhoo. Yes, it has been.
And Chris is going to go on a cruise.
Chris is going on a cruise. Dream of. It's the Chris
we'll
cruise.
A few more episodes
Wolf
of this
Blitzer one. Will be there when that happens.
So. Breaking news from Port Canaveral. Two this women are dragging Chris Illopoulos unconscious onto a cruise ship.
I know. I'm going to be like the P.A. Baracus of cruises. You guys are going to have to knock me out to get, and I'll just wake up on the cruise.
And you're going to go, what was I so afraid of the entire time? Oh, this is going to be a thing, isn't
very,
it?
Very interesting.
I agree.
All right.
Well, we want to thank Becky and Chris and Eve for coming on, and Michelle and me.
Yeah, nice to show up,
Mike. Thank you, myself.
I want to thank everybody for coming on. This has been very, very interesting. We heard a lot about the Star Wars Day at Sea fantasy cruise. And, of course, Eve gave us all kinds of tips on cruising for adults. And Chris gave us all reasons for not cruising for adults. So we'll take that and file it away. And we look forward to having you back again soon when we have some of your free time, because I know that you're very, very, very busy, especially coming up with the spring, all kinds of stuff going on.
It's going to be crazy.
Going to be crazy. So for Becky Mankin of MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, for Chris Illopoulos, for Eve Vanderpool of Monorail Media. Actually, I should say Chris Illopoulos from Desperate Times. I'm getting really tired. And from Michelle Scribner-McLean of Orange Therapy. Is that what it's called?
No.
All right,
that's where I'm from. But.
This is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road, in the parks, and on the boat.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.